Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this worship service singing together from Psalter 431, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Unto God our King, joy and strength of Israel, lofty anthems sing. Glorious are his ways, to his name give praise, with the harp and timbrel. 431, stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this evening can be found in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. We'll read the whole chapter. But first, we'll hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing in his presence among us this evening. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the creator of all things, the upholder of all things, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we can do nothing. We are utterly dependent upon thee for our physical life, but also for spiritual life. Lord, again in this day, for the second time, we may gather together as a congregation to enter into thy house of prayer, to hear thy precious word of law and gospel, death in Adam and life in Christ. Lord, may it be a wonder to us, for when we consider that millions upon this earth have no knowledge of thee, no knowledge of thy word, no knowledge of an only Savior, many do not have thy word, have never ever gathered together on thy day. And Lord, thou hast blessed us richly in thy mercy, in thy goodness to us, unworthy sinners. Lord, thou hast made a difference when there is no difference, for we are not better. It's all of thee, Lord. But we beg thee, Lord, that the hearing of the precious gospel may be mixed with faith in them that hear it, that it would not testify against us, Lord. Oh, we beg thee then for thy irresistible, powerful work of the Holy Spirit to renew hearts, to make alive, to teach, to lead, to guide, to empty of self, to strip of everything, to fill with thyself. And Lord, in this evening, that it also is a reflection sermon. In this morning, we have heard thy word that thou hast proclaimed unto thy people, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. And Lord, thou knowest thy people, those who have tended the Lord's Supper, or may also those who were not obedient and should have attended and did not attend. Thou knowest how it is in the heart. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou then also give in this evening not only reflection thoughts, but also instruction to go forward, to consider thy precious word and the command to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, for growing, then we are utterly, completely dependent upon thee by thy Spirit, by thy grace, and thy words. And Lord, we beg thee then that thou would also remember not only thy dear people in this evening, but also all those who must confess that they are yet dead in sins and trespasses, who have no knowledge of their misery, who have no hunger of that only Savior whom they have heard so many times through the preaching, and who have no desire to live fighting against the flesh, and have no desire to live with their whole heart to thy will. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, tonight may it be the hour of thy good pleasure, and that thou would pass them by with an arrow and shoot them and convict them in their hearts, that they may be wounded, that their hearts may break, that they may cry out unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, that this evening may be the beginning of their spiritual life. Oh, may they see it. They must be prepared. There's urgency. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, do wonders then for thy great name, that thy kingdom may come, that sinners may be born again, that sinners may be brought to repentance, and that the angels in heaven may rejoice because a boy, a girl, an adult, a young person has been brought to life, to repentance. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, hold not thy hand still. Lord, there's so many in this congregation that are lost. We pray, Lord, give them life. May we have no rest until we can rest alone in Thee upon that rock. Remember those who have been awakened and yet who have not entered through that door. Oh, we beg, Lord, work mightily, irresistibly, and draw them to Thyself. And wilt Thou then give instruction also in this evening for them? We pray, Lord, that Thy word may then go forth freely, powerfully. Take away all the obstacles and the hindrances in listening, but also in preaching. Come, Lord, with Thy Holy Spirit. Each time is a new time. Each time we need Thy presence, Thy help to preach and to listen. We are utterly dependent upon Thee, Lord. Lord, we beg Thee for Thy name's sake, for Thy honor, for Thy glory, for the salvation of sinners, for the edification of Thy dear people. Richly bless Thy word. Lord, Thou knowest the whole congregation, all the cares and needs, all the questions, the riddles, all the afflictions, the crosses. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, wilt Thou help each one in their personal needs, in their personal life, but also especially in their spiritual needs. Lord, we ask that Thou would remember then the church that is persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, wilt Thou uphold them, strengthen them, care for them. Remember us also as a congregation in this week, the Lord willing, when we will have a male members meeting, and there will be also voting for office bearers. Lord, Thou knowest the hearts of the men on the list. Wilt Thou guide us and lead us by Thy word and spirit to also in this way, that the men that are chosen may be in Thy favor, and that they may have freedom to accept what Thou hast called them to do. Lord, we beg Thee then, do not leave us, do not pass us by, but guide us by Thy Spirit in all things that will be discussed, in all things that will be decided. May it all be in Thy favor, Lord. We pray and ask Thee to remember us with the cares of our children as parents. Lord, we beg Thee for the tender fear of the Lord in our hearts as fathers, as mothers. Help us in the education of our children, especially in the precious truths of Thy word. May Thy word be opened in our homes, and that we may read Thy word together, that we may pray together, that we may sing together, and that our homes may be little worship services, and that Thou would also bless these means to us as parents and to our dear children. Remember those who are single, care for them. Remember, Lord, also us as husbands and wives. Give us love and faithfulness to each other. Help us, Lord, to live as husbands, according to Thy word, to love our wives as Christ loves His church. What a command. And Lord, we are sinful husbands. Help us then. Help also our dear wives to live godly. Lord, give them all that they stand in need of. We beg and pray Thee, Lord, remember also Rehoboth Christian School. Oh, we beg Thee, help the board, guide them and lead them. Remember all the teachers, all the staff, especially the students, Lord. Bless Thy word richly there, and wilt Thou provide also for the future. Lord, we beg Thee that Thou would then also remember the great need upon this earth. Thou art the King of the church. Oh, wilt Thou then provide also labors in Thy vineyard worldwide, but also may we ask Thee, Lord, in our beloved denomination, wilt Thou help all Thy servants, give all that is needed, but may we beg Thee, Lord, that Thou would also supply more labors. May we ask it for Thy name, for Thy kingdom to come. Especially, there's so many congregations that are vacant without an under-shepherd, without an ambassador. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou provide for them. Help us also here in this congregation as elders, as deacons, and also as a servant of thee. Give us wisdom. Give us thy grace, Lord, thy spirit to lead this flock in the right way. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, give us much wisdom and knowledge. Lord, we need it each day, each time we meet, every time we have questions, but also when we visit the people and they have souls' needs. Lord, we beg thee for light from above to instruct them, to teach them, to lead them in the right way, to be honest with them, that we may be tender for the little lives, the little babes in grace. Help us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that thou would then also remember the government of this nation. Help the prime minister. Give him the fear of the Lord in his heart. Prick him, Lord. Convert him. And that he may repent of all his sins. And that he may seek thee. Help all those whom thou hast placed with the responsibility to lead and guide this nation. Have mercy on us, Lord. Oh, may we beg thee also that thou would give a repentance to our national sins of abortion, of euthanasia, of breaking all thy commandments. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy on us. Teach, lead, and guide. Open minds to understand the truth of thy word, and that there may be respect from life, from conception unto natural death. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us. Do above all that we can think and ask. And may we beg thee again, Lord, gather with us. Bless thy word richly, powerfully. Come, Lord, renew hearts and care for thy dear people. Thou knowest what they need. They need instruction from thee, from thy word, reproof, correction, but also may it be a night also where there may be comfort. May there be food and drink for poor, needy sinners. Lord, we deserve nothing. We sin everything away. We're a polluted people, but may we ask thee, in thy wrath, remember mercy and look upon us and hear us and answer us in the name of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 68, all four stanzas. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. Psalter 68, all four stanzas, and the collection is for the church and for the Meritus Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, this morning there was a visible separation. Some attended the Lord's Supper and some did not. And children, you couldn't because you do not have a church rite. So there was a separation in the congregation in this morning, but that separation is not perfect. Maybe there were some who should have attended, but they did not attend for various reasons. And it's also possible that maybe some who did attend should not have. And congregation, I don't have anyone in mind, but it is possible. So the separation that we saw this morning is not perfect. But there is coming a day when there will be a separation that will be absolutely perfect. When will that be? That will be when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, as we read in 2 Peter 3. He will return. And then, when he comes on the glorious throne with all the angels, that all the dead will rise, and all those who are yet living will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and the Lord will send forth his angels, and he will make a perfect separation. On his right hand will be all the sheep, and on the left hand will be all the goats. You and I will stand before this throne, and that separation will be perfect. No mistakes. The question for you and I is, are we ready? Are you ready, my friend, for that day? Whether you are not a communicant or are you a communicant, we must be ready for that day when the Lord will return and that we will stand before his throne. Peter in 2 Peter 3 especially is speaking to God's people, to beloved children of God. Peter exhorts the living church. He says the Lord is going to return, and the world is going to be destroyed to fire. And you, children of God, he says in verse 11, should live in all holy conversation and godliness. He is exhorting the children of God in this chapter that they are to live holy, but also to look for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And on this day, there's only one place of safety. Children, remember when the flood came? There was only one place of safety from the wrath of God in the ark. But on this day, when the Lord Jesus Christ will return, there's only one place of safety from the wrath of God. And Peter writes in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. My dear congregation, children, teenagers, adults, you who attended, you who did not attend the Lord's Supper, you must be in Jesus Christ. By attending, you confessed that you were in the midst of death. You had no hope in self, but that you sought and are seeking salvation only in Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you a question tonight, congregation. All of you who did not attend, did you confess something? Yes, you did. You confessed something. You know what you confessed? You confessed, I do not know him. You confessed, you have no life. You have no grace. And you confessed, you do not know that Savior. Think about that tonight, my friend. I hope you can't sleep. I hope you can't. I hope it becomes urgent that you must be in Jesus Christ, that you need him, and that you cannot let God go, but that you may become by God's grace a Jacob wrestling with him. Lord, bless me. Bless me with thy grace. My friends, The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. You must be ready. The only way to be ready is to be ready in that only place of safety, in Jesus Christ. Because outside of him, God is a consuming fire. But in him, there's comfort, there's safety, there's shelter in him. And then Peter says in verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before." So you know these things, what I'm speaking about. "Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." He's warning the children of God, the sheep of the good shepherd. He warns them to beware of false doctrine, of wicked men, and he gives them a command in the following verse. And that is what we hope to meditate on tonight in this reflection sermon. So I'd like to draw your attention to the precious word of God from 2 Peter 3, verse 18, where we read, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And I pray that the word of God may be blessed richly by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may be blessed, my friend, that you may be born again. But also for you, little lambs, sheep, that you also may be blessed, that you may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so with the Lord's help, we will consider the following theme with 3 points. The theme is, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The first point is, you must grow. Yes, you must grow. This is a command. It's a command for the children of God. It's not an option. It's not advice. It's a command. You must grow. Are you recipient of God's grace? Are you growing in grace? Why must you grow? We will consider that. So the first thought is, you must grow. The second is the means for your growth. You must grow, but how? What is the means that those little lambs, the sheep, will grow? And then the last thought, the manner of growth. How will they grow? What is it to grow? What does a growing Christian look like? How do we know if we are growing? And so, the theme, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must grow, the means for growth, and the manner of growth. Our first thought, you must grow. Dear friends, how would you feel if you bought a plant and you took it in your home and there never ever was a flower on that plant? Wouldn't you be disappointed? I think of mothers, fathers. You have a child, it's born, but that child doesn't grow. It just stays as a newborn baby. We would have great concern because something that is living, there should be a proof of life. If we don't see some flowers on that plant, there's something wrong. And if that child doesn't grow, there's something wrong. But what about a person? What about someone who confesses the name of Jesus Christ and does not grow, does not mature? Then we have the question, is that person really spiritually alive? Is that person a born-again Christian? The Christian life is growing. And yes, I hope to explain that later. But it's growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is the way to experience assurance. It is the way to experience more true comfort in this life. It is the way of being certain of salvation, of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. But it also is especially the way that God is glorified. Listen to what John wrote in John 15, verse 8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear some fruit." No. "That ye bear much fruit, And then listen, so shall ye be my disciples. A plant that does not grow gives reason for question. A baby does not grow gives great concern. But someone who professes the name of Jesus Christ and does not grow is of much greater concern, is their life. A child of God must grow and must produce fruit. No growth, no fruit leads to the question whether there is spiritual life. Wilhelminus Brackel said, listen, whoever does not have a burning desire to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ is not a true believer. Did you hear that? Dear sheep of the Good Shepherd, you are commanded to grow in grace. Why must you grow? God does not save sinners just to save them. He saves them for a purpose. He wants them to be conformed to the image of His Son. That was His eternal plan and is. God saves sinners by His grace through the gift of faith in Jesus Christ for a purpose. What is the purpose, congregation? What is the purpose for your life, children of God, little lambs and sheep? So that they would grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they would produce more fruits, that they would do more good works. Children of God, you must grow. Listen to the word of God. Grow in grace. Why? So that the Lord would be praised. Isaiah 43 verse 21. This people have I formed for myself, that they shall show forth my praise. Grow in grace. Why? For the glory of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Grow in grace. Why? Why must you grow in grace? This is the purpose that God has sought you and saved you. Yes? Yes. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And listen to what we read in Titus 2 verse 14, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are you? Have you become by God's grace zealous of good works? One of the greatest saints in the New Testament. Who is he? Who would you say? I would say Paul. How did Paul live? Did he say, I have everything, I'm saved, I have everything, I don't need anything, I don't need to grow? No. Paul was, I'd say, one of the most maturest saints that you can read of in the New Testament. And what did he say? Open your Bible, please, to Philippians 3. We'll read verse 8 and 9. Philippians 3, verse 8 and 9. Listen to what Paul says. He had great assurance of faith, but listen to his daily life. Philippians 3, verse 8 and 9. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul, do you not have Christ? But he says, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Are you not in Him, Paul? Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, that the righteousness which is of God by faith. What is Paul saying? What is he confessing? This mature Christian, a child of God. Paul is not passive. He's not a passive Christian. He's active. He's not like a baby that does not grow. No. Paul desires to grow. He desires to know more and more. He has only a little knowledge. As much as he has, he only has a little knowledge of that precious Savior, Jesus Christ, but desires to know him more. He desires to be more like him. True Christians are active. They're living. They're fighting the good fight of faith. They're running the race. They're pursuing. They're longing to know Christ, to know him more, and to know him more, and to be found in him. They're killing the flesh. They desire to be conformed to the image of Christ. Is that you? Are you a Christian? What are you using your time and your energy for? Paul, he said that I may be found in him, that I may win Christ. Is this your life? Sheep, lambs, is this your life? This is to be our life. Notice that Paul says, Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But now I want to speak to you. You who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. You are living without God. You are living without Christ. You are living hanging over that abyss of hell, as Jonathan Edwards says, with a fraying rope, and at any moment that rope can snap. A dead sinner cannot grow. You must be born again. You must be first in Christ before you can ever grow. You need to be cut off that dead stock, Adam, and you need to be grafted into the living stock, Jesus Christ. In this chapter, Peter speaks about the return of Jesus Christ, and there were some that were mocking. Where's the promise of his return, of his coming? He's not coming. But I want to ask you for a moment, you who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, why did you wake up this morning? Why could you again enter into God's house to hear the word? Why? Why has the Lord Jesus Christ not returned yet? Why? He has an answer in this chapter, my friend. Verse 9 and 15. Let us read it together. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then we read in verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Why has the Lord not returned? Because it's a proof he has no pleasure in your death. Why are you still alive? So that you may yet have an opportunity to be under the means of grace. It's God's mercy. But you, who have been made spiritually alive, by that new life you have repented, and by that gift of faith you have believed that was in that Savior that was revealed in him. But how are you living? Are you longing to know more of him? Are you longing to be found in him? To be hiding in him? To be covered by him? Are you longing to grow and in the grace? In the knowledge of Jesus Christ? But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Little lambs need to grow into sheep. You must mature. You must grow up. You must produce more fruit for the glory of God. I want to speak to you again, unconverted ones. Listen, the Lord is looking on the tree of your life. He's looking for fruit. He made you with such the capacity to be a tree that produced all good fruit. But what does he see on your tree? He sees only rotten fruit, stinking fruit. And he yet extends your life. He yet extends the time that you may use the means of grace. But that axe is at the root. It's not far away. It's at the very root, as the Lord Jesus Christ said. And one day, any moment, that axe could cut off your life. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 3, verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And he said a few verses before this, bring therefore fruits meet for repentance. Repent. Lambs, sheep, you must grow. But what is the means for your growth? Is that your question? Well, that leads us to our second thought. The means for your growth. For plants to grow, they need nutrients. They need water. They need sunlight. And if you give them water and you give them nutrients and there's sunlight, they still need the blessing of God to grow. Because all creation grows by the blessing of God. For a little baby to grow, children, that baby needs milk. It needs its mother's milk. And the mother may have milk, but the Lord needs to bless that milk to that little baby so that baby will grow. What is the means for a Christian to grow? How will a Christian grow? How will those sheep, those lambs grow? What does the Lord give for his people to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his own Son? A plant and a baby, although they may have all the necessary, everything is provided, they are still completely dependent on growth upon the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of God. But also those plants. I've seen that. You plant a cornfield, and some plants grow fast, and some grow slower. Some children grow faster, some grow slower. But this is also true in the Christian life. But it's important to remember that a Christian is completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. God is free and sovereign, and he gives grace more to one than to another. We read this in Philippians or Ephesians 4 verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And some produce more fruit than others, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark 4 verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. We need to remember that. We need to remember that, especially us as office bearers. If we don't see someone's, for example, have 80-fold or 100-fold, we say, watch this. No, we need to be careful for those little tender babes. And children of God, God is sovereign. Absolutely. You are completely dependent upon his grace. But God is sovereign, but you are also responsible. You are dependent upon God to grow. You need his grace. You need his spirit. And yet you are commanded and called to grow. To grow in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You will not grow in your own power. The Lord Jesus Christ said, without me you can do nothing. Nothing. We are completely dependent upon him. And if you think you are growing in your own power, it's all nothing but stinking pride. Growth in grace, spiritual growth in grace, is dependent upon the blessing of the Holy Spirit and upon grace. Paul knew this. He knew this personally, and he gave all credit to God for who he was. By the grace of God, I am that I am. But he also saw in that city of Thessalonica. He brought the word there. He saw it was blessed. And he saw and he wrote to those Christians. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2 and 3. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, and it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And now listen. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Paul saw them growing in grace. And what did he see? To show that they were growing in grace, they were bound together in love. May that also be in this congregation. Bound together in love, growth exceedingly in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that will go together with love for the brethren. What is the means for growth? A baby needs milk. You cannot give a baby meat. He can't eat it. He could choke. He could die. A baby needs milk. But to grow up, he also needs to start to eat solid food, because he also needs those nutrients from that solid food. And so it also is spiritual. Those little newborn babes, they need the milk of the word. They need the simplicity of the gospel. As Peter said in 1 Peter 2 verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And milk can be part of our diet our whole life, naturally in our life. Babies can only drink milk, but as they grow older, we still may have milk. But we need more. We need also solid food. The milk of the word, the gospel, always remains sweet for those lambs, for poor needy sinners, for those mourners. But they also need to mature. They need to grow. For this, they need meat. They need the meat of the word. They need the doctrines of grace to be standing upon those doctrines of the word of God, of who that Almighty God is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You cannot feed a dead person. I say this with much respect. You cannot feed a dead person anything, and that person will not grow. You need to be alive, my friend. And then you also need to know you need the milk and you need meat. You need to grow. To drink and eat, we need to be alive. Are you alive, my friend? Have you been made spiritually alive? But you who are alive, are you drinking? Are you drinking that milk of the word? Is it sweet for your soul? But also, are you eating? Or sheep, children of God, are you only drinking the simplicity of the gospel? Or are you also eating the milk of the word? Listen to what we read in Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Sheep, little lambs, you need milk, but you also need the meat of the word to grow. What is the means to grow? The precious word of God, the precious gospel, the gospel heard, the gospel read. And you must also have meat. Why? What did Paul say? What did he say? That you wouldn't be like children tossed to and fro with all the winds of doctrine, that you may be able to stand like men. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You must grow, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growing is knowing, believing, and living in the doctrines of Jesus Christ, in the record of God, of his Son. What's the means? The means is resting more and more upon Him, not upon your frames, not upon your feelings. What is the means? Trusting in Him. Letting go and trusting in Him and all His works of providence as that all-wise Father. What is the means? It's by living in Him day by day, needing Him, living close to that good shepherd who carries those little lambs in His bosom, to being close to Him, to His heartbeat, to hear that heart that beats, that says, love, love. What is the means? To live in holiness, to strive for holiness, to cut the flesh. What is the means? It's longing, praying, searching, longing to be conformed to the image of Christ. What is the means? God's grace, grace, grace. God the Holy Spirit and God's Word. And living close, abiding, living in Jesus Christ. And the Lord has provided everything. He has everything for you. Sheep, for lambs, to grow. He has provided everything. But now, before we go to our last thought, the manner of growth, let us first sing from Psalter 251, all three stanzas. 251, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. And what follows? 251, all three stanzas. Sheep of the Good Shepherd, you must grow. You who are dead in sins and trespasses, you must be made alive so that you would truly grow. What are the means? The Word, God's grace, His Spirit. But what is the manner of growth? How do those sheep grow? How do those lambs grow? What's the manner that they grow? Again, let's think of a plant. You take a little seed, you dig a little hole in the dirt, you bury that seed, and it germinates. And then one day you see a little blade come through the earth, and then it grows, and then a plant, and then there comes flower. Think of a person conceived in the womb. It grows. It's created. There's life. A baby grows. It grows. There's a head, a body, hands, feet. It's born as a baby. Grows into little children. Grows into a teenager. Grows into adult. Becomes old. We're not born as adults. We're born as a baby. So we see there's a manner of growth in creation. But there's also a manner of growth in spiritual life. A healthy plant and a person grow. They become bigger and stronger. Right, children? Your father is strong. They become stronger. But what's the manner of a growth of a Christian? Of those lambs? Of those sheep? Do they become bigger and better and stronger? Better soldiers? Mightier in themselves? How would you answer this, congregation? How would you answer it? I think the best answer is from the Word of God, from one of the sheep of the Good Shepherd of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. What did he say? What did he say about growing? What's the manner? He must increase, and I must decrease. What is the manner of growth? Growing spiritually is becoming less and less in your own sight, and the Lord Jesus Christ becoming more and more necessary, more suitable, and more precious. What is the manner of growing? Knowing more of self, more and more of who you are and who you remain to be, and living more and more dependent upon that shepherd, closer to him, closer to his side, following him, obeying. Growing in the knowledge, in the grace, is a knowledge of self, of sinful self, and more of a knowledge of how great that Savior, the Good Shepherd, that Savior of sinners is. Dying to self, and that He is life. More and more sin in yourself, and that He becomes greater and greater. This is growing. Dying, becoming more broken down, becoming less and less in yourself. That's painful, but that's the manner of growth, because that's the way the Holy Spirit makes room, that Christ becomes everything. They become poor and poor and poor. Who likes to become poor? We don't want to become poor. We want to become richer. We want to become stronger. But those lambs, those sheep, they become very rich, but poor in self, but rich in Christ. Listen to what we read in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The Lord sends the rich away, but he fills the poor, the empty ones. A Christian is one who becomes poor in self and he's rich in Christ. Do you hear it? That's a blessed people. That's a blessed people, congregation. Poor in self. More meek, more humble, and more humble. Losing everything in self, but finding everything in Christ. That's a blessed people. That's a growing Christian. That's the way they grow. Less in self and greater in Christ. They learn that they have done sin, they do sin, and they remain sin. But they also learn that all their righteousness, all their good works, everything is all completely concluded, Listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah 64 verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's how they grow. That's the manner. Nothing in self. They do not brag about self. They do not boast about self. My love, my faith, my good works. I listened to a man in Tarija once, and he said, oh, I have such great faith. But that's all he said. I wasn't impressed. And a few months later, he left. He left to live in another country. Why? Because it came obvious. It became evident in his life. He bragged about great faith, but in the same time, he was living deep in pornography. They don't brag about self. No, they have nothing to brag about, but they glory. They boast, if I may say it, in another. They glory in Jesus Christ because he becomes everything. He becomes the chiefest among 10,000. He becomes altogether lovely. He becomes that precious one. He becomes that beautiful one. They want to see him. And when they taste a little milk from him through the word, they want more. They want another sip. And when they receive a little meat, they want more. They want to be close to that shepherd. They want to live with him. They want to follow him. They want to obey him. They want to see him more and more. Because they see in self more wickedness, more wretchedness. They become lost, guilty, and more polluted. And he becomes the beautiful one. He becomes that one that is fairer than the children of men. He becomes the fairest. The fairest, the most lovely one. They open the word. They come to church. They want to behold his glory. They want to see him like David. Oh, that I may be in God's house to behold him, to behold the glory of the Lord. That's a growing Christian. That's one who is in a good frame. They know themselves as foolish, and he becomes their wisdom. They know themselves as unrighteous, and he becomes their righteousness. They become unjust, and they become just in him. He becomes their justification. They are polluted and they need him for everything. Yes, everything. They confess it. Without thee, Lord, I can do nothing. They need him. And God has provided him for everything for them. Listen to what we read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those little lambs, those sheep, how do they grow? What's the manner? They need him for everything. They can't live without him. I decrease and he increases. This is the manner of true Christian growth. They grow. How do they grow? Well, we talk about those three marks of grace: misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And is it that for a time in their life they have misery and then it's a period? And then they learn something about deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. And the rest of their life is just a life of sanctification, of gratitude? Is that how it goes? How does it go, congregation? What is the manner that they grow? It's an ever-circling and more profound depth. Because the more they know of their misery, the more they need of the deliverance, and the more they taste of deliverance in Jesus Christ, the more their hearts break, and more they long to serve him. And when they taste a little something of the comfort of the love from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the word, or in the sacrament, all then their hearts burn to serve him. He's so good. He's so worthy. But what do they find out in that way of longing to live holy? They see more sin. And so they need him more for deliverance. And then they taste more deliverance. And then there's more gratitude. And so it's an ever circling. And if it's healthy, more deeper, more profound. That's the manner of growing. growing less in self, and finding everything, everything in Him. What's the manner of growth? They grow in proportion. You say, what do you mean? Well, a little baby doesn't just grow. His arms don't just grow longer, and his legs and the rest of his body stay the same. No, that whole body grows at the same time. Those little lambs, those sheep, they also need to grow in all the graces. Not just in love, not just in knowledge, but in all the graces. May I ask you to open your Bible again from 2 Peter 1. We'll read verses 5 through 10. And may this be instruction especially for you, sheep, little lambs. And listen, congregation, what you need. We read in 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 10. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing in proportion in all the graces, in all, in every area of your whole life. But how do you know if you're growing? Is that your question? Then you are like John the Baptist, decreasing. And the Lord Jesus Christ is increasing. Thomas Watson said, the right manner of growth is to grow less in one's own eyes. You must grow. Sheep, lambs, and you know what they feel? When they hear this command, they will also begin to pray. Strengthen, O Lord, that which thou hast wrought for us. Psalm 68, verse 28. They turn that command into a prayer. Why? Because they know their flesh. They know they cannot grow of themselves. They must grow. They hear the command, but they need the Lord. They need his grace every day to grow. And now listen, I will mention many points of growth. To grow, you must be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you will not grow. To grow, you need food. You need to be in the Word. The Word of God is the food. Search the Scriptures. Read the Word of God. To grow, you must love and worship God. You must live with this with a heart united for this purpose every day, intentionally, utterly dependent upon God. To grow, you must be following and obeying the Spirit, not your flesh. You must crucify the flesh. To grow, you must fight against sin and not allow it to live. No sin, because one little leak in the boat can sink the whole ship. To grow, you need to grow in brotherly love. Not for this those in the church you like and agree with you. No, for the whole family of God. You need to grow in fellowship. Seek communion in the week to be with other children of God. To grow, you must seek communion with God through the Lord Jesus Christ by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. To grow, you must use the means of grace. Go to the Bible study. Come to church as much every time faithfully. To grow, you must be willing to deny yourself. to deny yourself in everything and to unconditionally follow the will of God. You must take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But one more point. Sheep, lambs, to grow. You also must obey the command to do this in remembrance of me. To grow. The Lord has given the word, his word, but the Lord also has instituted the Lord's Supper. And we must also be obedient. Sheep, little lambs, think about that. Meditate upon that. You must grow for the glory of God. It's all for the glory of God. That's why he gives the command to grow for his glory, for his honor. Growth in grace will hinder the growth of corruption. You want to kill the flesh? You need to grow in grace. And maybe you say, but Pastor, I fail every day. I understand. I do too. I do too. A pastor isn't more holy. No, he's not. He's a sinful man with a calling. He also needs to grow. I understand. We hear the command and we need to grow. But we feel so often we're not growing, we're only going backwards. We feel it's so impossible. But take comfort, because there's a living vine. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living vine. You need to be in that vine. And sheep, lambs, you've been grafted in that vine. And those grapes grow by being in the vine. And he says, abide in me. Live in me. Live close to me. That's the only way you will grow. It is the connection with him, because he's the living vine and you're the living branches. That's the only way you will grow. Grow, but how? Waiting upon him, depending upon him. And then we'll read one verse to close. Listen, how will you grow? Waiting, depending upon him. The last verse in that precious chapter which we heard this morning. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Let us close with prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee again, remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Lord, wilt thou give that they may receive life from thee. Lord, work mightily, powerfully, irresistibly. Take away those hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. But also remember all thy dear children, those who did attend, and possibly also those who did not attend. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, richly bless thy word. We have heard it, that we must grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ for thy honor, for thy glory, and for their assurance. Lord, remember us in this week. Be with us again, O Lord, we beg, as we meet as a male members meeting on Tuesday. Guide us and lead us by thy word and spirit. And Lord, also, as I'm called to go to Iowa for Thanksgiving for the coming Lord's Day, may we ask thee, Lord, to be with the congregation, this beloved flock. Help the elders in leading the services, and bless thy word richly also through these means. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy on us and look upon us through thy dear Son. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us close with singing from Psalter 203, all five stanzas. Psalter 203, all five stanzas. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. Psalter 203, all five stanzas. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.